Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The polygraph machines are out at the CIA in a tough crackdown on leaks and leakers. First to go, fired last week for allegedly leaking word of secret American prisons abroad, was Mary McCarthy, 61, a veteran intelligence officer. McCarthy worked for more than 20 years for the CIA, including very senior positions at Langley and the White House. She knew the rules. But after Abu Ghraib, McCarthy allegedly leaked news of U.S. secret black site counterterrorism prisons. Supporters call her a whistleblower and hero. Critics call her a villain. Her bosses have fired her, and the fallout is still coming. Up next on Point, the Mary McCarthy story leaks whistleblowers and the CIA. We begin with the latest developments. John Diamond covers intelligence and national security for USA Today. He joins me now from Washington. John, good to have you with us.
Same here, Tom.
How's this being digested in the intelligence community as far as you can see, John?
Definitely a mixed reaction. The folks who are career professionals that we occasionally get to talk to, sometimes on an authorized basis and sometimes not, generally are pro-secrecy. That's why they're in the business, and they generally don't like leaks, and they don't like politically motivated leaks, and they think that classified information should stay classified. And so, to some extent, there's a feeling that this had to be done. There is, however, and has been for some time, a great deal of friction among between the Bush administration political level appointees at the CIA, led by Porter Goss, the director, and some of the senior rank and file career intelligence officers. So there is definitely a crackdown going on leaks. Senior CIA officials are concerned that the leaks are, at least in many cases, politically motivated. That is to say, there are people who disagree politically with the Bush administration's policies and are expressing their concern by leaking to the press information that potentially could hurt, could expose those policies or harm those policies.
Well, let's look at the secret prisons issue in just those terms. Now, Mary McCarthy, it's clear it's out there in the press that she contributed a couple of $1,000s to John Kerry's presidential campaign in 2004. On the other hand, the thing she was leaking here, allegedly, this is still alleged, was news of secret prisons that many said at the time were illegal.
That's right. There is a sort of a dichotomy or a problem here, in the sense that you have the government at times engaged in activities that many people regard as illegal, but is classifying those activities, making it a crime to reveal them. It's not the first time a problem of this kind has happened. It is important to note, though, that the story about secret prisons remains unconfirmed. It's true that the CIA asked the Washington Post to withhold some details of its stories, namely the countries in Eastern Europe where these secret prisons were said to exist, and the Post complied. That's a strong circumstantial indication that the stories are accurate. But an independent European Union anti-terror investigation that came out last week was not able to prove that these secret CIA prisons existed. Another important thing to note is that Mary McCarthy, the fired employee, worked in the CIA Inspector General's office, which was charged with conducting internal investigations of various issues, one of which was concern within the agency that the agency was engaged in illegal activity concerning the handling of detainees, the so-called rendition of captives to countries where they might be exposed to abusive treatment under interrogation and that sort of thing. So if she did leak this, then she was leaking material relating to an ongoing investigation, which is, again, regarded as a no-no.
She had a front row seat in the follow-up on Abu Ghraib. We read she'd been very highly placed, senior official at the National Security Council under the Clinton administration. I mean, this is a very high-placed CIA official.
Indeed.
This isn't just anybody.
That's right. And as the inspector general, as an officer in that organization, the inspector general would, of course, have access across the board regarding many controversial programs. Oftentimes, you see in the intelligence community a compartmentalization of activity, so that folks over, on one floor working on Iran have no idea what the folks working on North Korea are up to. But the inspector general's office has across the board access, which does suggest that McCarthy had access to a lot of sensitive information.
John, let me ask you. I mean, this whole story sounds like something out of the TV series 24, where there's all kinds of internal dissent within the intelligence operation. That's fiction. But here we are in the CIA, in the top ranks, people clearly holding secrets from one another, and the polygraph machines out in order to determine who's telling what. How riven is this agency by political or what worldview differences of how it ought to proceed?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly great concern within the agency about the detainee issue, and there's a great deal of concern among rank and file officers that they could be impoverished by legal fees if they are exposed to lawsuits. They're not necessarily guaranteed of government coverage of their expenses if the agency is sued or their criminal charges brought, that sort of thing.
In other words, they may fear they're being asked to do illegal things that may later cost them their whatever they've got.
Their freedom and their fortunes. In addition, of course, you have the, I've been told that the firing of an official for a leak of this kind is unprecedented. So although, I mean, leaks have been happening in Washington for time immemorial, folks I've talked to cannot remember another case like this. She had her security clearance stripped and was escorted from the building last Thursday. There is a great deal of concern, and of course you have the larger political context of the Bush administration itself involved in a leak investigation concerning the Valerie Plame, the leak of the identity of Valerie Plame, allegedly by people within the administration as part of a political response to criticism the administration received concerning the whole Iraq weapons of mass destruction issue.
There's a lot to dig into here, and we're going to do it. John, thanks very much for laying it out for us.
You're most welcome.
John Diamond covers intelligence and national security for USA Today. He spoke with me from Washington. Joining me now from Washington is James Bamford. He's an investigative journalist, writes about intelligence. He's author of Body of Secrets, Anatomy of the Ultra-Secret National Security Agency, and The Puzzle Palace Inside America's Secret Intelligence Organization. James Bamford, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Tom.
How are you assessing Mary McCarthy's situation here and what she's alleged to have done? Is this an outrage, or is this someone standing up for truth and right?
Well, I think it's if the allegations are true, of course, I think it's an act of political courage. You're not having somebody here leaking a war plan or something. This is the Bush administration has gotten into so many areas of possible illegality, from jailing people without access to an attorney to illegal warrantless eavesdropping around the country. And, in normal times, when you have sort of a divided Congress, when at least there's an opposition party in there, you have some hope of congressional committees occasionally to look into these things. Or you may have a case where a person's boss is also sympathetic to violations of the law. And normally these people who want to blow the whistle, they'll go through various channels within the system, or at least they'll look into these various channels and hopefully do the whistleblowing internally and bring an end to whatever they think is illegal or unethical or improper.
Why do you think that did not happen in this case, James Bamford? Why didn't Mary McCarthy work up through channels?
Well, she may have. I mean, who knows? We don't know very much about this right now. Virtually all these cases, people do work their way up through channels. The problem is, at some point, they see it's going to be frustrated, and if she's working in the inspector general's office, she has a first-hand view of whether this is going to be successful or not, whether the inspector general is going to be able to persuade the director of the Central Intelligence Agency or the or senior officials above them to take a very close look into this question of building secret prisons and hiding people in there without any access to lawyers and so forth. So the ultimate bottom line is that if there's no place else to go, the choice of last resort is usually the press. And if you take a look at the some of these leaks in the past, that's the only way that there's ever been some possible corrective action taken.
But Mary McCarthy was sworn to secrecy around classified intelligence. Do you think that the alleged secret prisons rose to the level of issue that justified her breaking that oath of secrecy?
Well, she's also sworn to uphold the law, and she's also a U.S. citizen in addition to being a employee of the CIA. So there are conflicting issues here.
Yesterday, on the ABC News program This Week with George Stephanopoulos, Senator John Kerry weighed in.
You have somebody being fired from the CIA for allegedly telling the truth, and you have no one fired from the White House for revealing a CIA agent in order to support a lie. That underscores what's really wrong in Washington. You know, classification in Washington is a tool that is used to hide the truth from the American people. So I'm glad she told the truth, but she's going to obviously have to, if she did it, suffer the consequences of breaking the law.
Senator John Kerry speaking yesterday on ABC, saying he's glad she told the truth. Others, not glad at all. Porter Goss, a chief of the CIA, foremost among them. We're joined right now from Charlottesville, Virginia, by Robert Turner, Associate Director at the Center for National Security Law and Professor of Law at the University of Virginia. From 81 to 84, he served in the Pentagon as Special Assistant to the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy and in the White House as Counsel to the President's Intelligence Oversight Board. Robert Turner, thanks very much for being with us.
Tom, I'm glad to be here again.
You are not in a merciful mood toward Mary McCarthy. Why not?
Well, for so many reasons. One, at least based upon what we know about the facts, there's no indication of wrongdoing. That is to say, it's very clear that it's permissible to hold enemy combatants during time of war indefinitely without giving them a lawyer. The Supreme Court has acknowledged this. It's spelled out in the Geneva Conventions. Even if these people were members of an armed forces of a foreign country, you can detain them for the duration of the conflict. So there's a lot of what I hear is, well, there has been some wrongdoing and this must be illegal. I've not yet heard anything that suggests that anything here is illegal. The second thing is she had all sorts of options. She could have gone. She worked for the inspector general. She could have gone that route at least first. She could have gone to Congress. Now, I would have had problems with her going to Congress, but that would have been 100 times better than going to the papers. We also know that she was a political partisan. She and her husband had given about $10,000 in contributions during the last election season. Her husband is very active in runs an organization that is very much against the war and the administration.
But of course, that's not illegal in our system either.
Well, certainly it's not, but it may have to do with motive here. Main thing is, This has clearly done serious harm. This is a relationship with foreign intelligence services. You can go back to the Federalist Papers when John Jay in Federalist 64 talked about the reason that Congress was kept out of the business of intelligence was because there would be foreign sources who would confide in the secrecy of the president, but not in that of the Senate or a more numerous popularly elected House, which, of course, today the Senate is more numerous and popularly elected. And he said, therefore, the convention had done well in so disposing of the treaty powers that the president would be left, and I quote, able to manage the business of intelligence as prudence might suggest. That is, the argument here is you need secrecy for these things to succeed. If you want foreign services to cooperate with us, and after the Carter administration and the Church-Pike hearings, we had basically devastated our HUMINT intelligence collection capability. We have to rely on foreign services, and if they believe that when they cooperate with us in secrecy, that any CIA agent who happens to politically dislike the incumbent president
right.
can destroy the program by simply going to the press, we're not going to get intelligence. We're not going to be able to keep secrets, and people are going to die, and even wars may, certainly battles are going to be lost, if not wars. So this is fundamental. It's not only just that she should have been fired. That was nothing. That is to say, she had already announced her plans to resign, so maybe she's going to lose, you know, a couple of thousand dollars in pay. I think it's imperative that she be prosecuted for a felony. She clearly violated 18 U.S.C. 793, which provides a 10-year prison sentence, but also that will bring into effect another statute that will deny her pension, because if she is not held accountable for this egregious act, there's no reason that anybody else at the CIA, that maybe in the next election, Hillary Clinton will win, and there'll be some conservative who doesn't think we're doing things right, who will want to say, "Well, I'm going to go to National Review and give them a story."
We hear it. There's a tough bill of indictment, and from your corner, even a call for further prosecution. And we don't know at this point that will not happen. Robert Turner, please stand by. And James Bamford, I want to get your response, but if I may turn first to St. Louis and U.S. Senator Kit Bond, Republican from Missouri, member of the Senate Intelligence Committee. He joins us. Senator Bond, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks very much, Tom. I'm on a cell phone. We're having a little trouble with the telephones, but I hope it works.
What do you make of the Mary McCarthy firing? Was this the right thing? And what do you make of her leaking in the first place?
Well, it's about time something was done with the rampant leaks of classified information. I have traveled in the last several months to visit with our agency people across the world, the Far East, the Europe, and the Middle East, and I have heard time after time the great concern by the men and women who serve our country so well in intelligence that these leaks have, number one, severely damaged our ability to collect information, number two, put at risk the lives of many of our sources, number three, made our allies far more reluctant to work with us on classified intel matters. They're saying, why should we work with you when you can't keep a secret? So I asked Porter Goss at an open hearing in February. I said, "What has been the damage from these leaks?" And Director Negroponte expressed grave concern about it. Porter Goss said the damage has been very severe, and he repeated very severe. And I think the only way to stop these leaks is to take a definitive action, and I'm glad that they at least found who one leaker was, and I hope that not only would she be fired, but whatever other steps they deem appropriate be taken to ensure that people realize that getting publicity, getting your viewpoints across when you violate the terms of your employment and the terms of a very important contract you sign not to leak are violated. So,
Senator Bond, let me ask you, your colleague, Senator John Kerry, said yesterday that classification of information is being used in Washington as a tool to hide the truth from the American people. Supporters of Mary McCarthy have said she's not a leaker, she's fundamentally a whistleblower. She's was doing right by her conscience here. What do you say to that?
I think that's, I know that Ms. McCarthy was a contributor to John Kerry. Unfortunately, I guess they both have the same view that what is classified can be revealed without regard to the consequences, without regard to what it does, so long as it serves their political purposes. We had a very extensive two-year review of all of the information leading up to the decision to go to war in Iraq. All the information was shared with us on the Intelligence Committee, and if people will recall, back in 2004, we issued an extensive report on that. Some of it was could not be declassified, but all Democrats and Republicans on the Intelligence Committee saw that information. And the fact of the matter is that what could be released about the decisions going up to the 2003 movement against Iraq was declassified. It was not selective. What was not declassified was not declassified because it could reveal sources and methods. And
Senator Bond, let me ask you, if I may, that the allegation is out there that the oversight from Congress has become so loose that it puts employees within the CIA in this difficult bind. If Congress is not being tougher in tracking what's going on, then people like Mary McCarthy feel obliged to step forward. What do you say to that argument?
I can't believe that anybody in the CIA doesn't know that we followed up every single lead. When people in the CIA were said that they had that they were pressured, or when word came back, our staff interviewed and we had an opportunity to call before us anybody in the CIA who had information. They were encouraged to come forward. Chairman Roberts said, "Come forward." People said, "Well, I heard somebody might have had something." We had one person come in and said that he had heard about one instance. It didn't have anything to do with Iraq, and that was the only instance where we heard somebody who said that, well, my conclusions were changed in regard to a totally separate situation. None of it had to do with Iraq. So we had an extensive, I think it was about an 18-month investigation with 5 to 6 staff people working full-time, reviewing documents, inviting anybody from the CIA to come forward. So that's just absolute nonsense that they didn't have an opportunity to bring to our attention something that was they felt needed to be brought to our attention. McCarthy should have had the opportunity in the Inspector General's office, go to the Inspector General, or to come to Congress, to the Senate and House Intelligence Committees, if she did not feel that the proper steps were being taken.
So do it in-house, you say. Senator Kit Bond, on the road to St. Louis, Republican of Missouri and member of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Senator Bond, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Let me take a call from Charleston, South Carolina. William is on the line. Hi, William. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'm on a cell phone also, so we may get a little spotty communications.
Let's hear it.
But first, I agree totally with Senator Bond, and particularly your previous caller, I think, was spot on. What is most disturbing is it sounds like her actions were not, generated by a sense of a duty or a sense of compassion, but rather a sense of politics. She apparently contributed, I guess, to Kerry's campaign and the National Committee, as I understand it. This may not be true or not. And then clearly I did not know her husband was also involved in Democratic politics. So it seems clear that we have a person who has been given access to the most sensitive information, allowing this to be given to the world and then compromising the health and welfare of so many people simply because of domestic politics. It sickens one to hear about this.
Maybe that's what it was. I mean, we don't know for sure, but we hear how you're reading it, William, and we thank you for your call. James Bamford, let me come back to you. There's been a lot of criticism of Mary McCarthy since your voice was last on the air. Robert Turner says this isn't against international law or human rights law, or this is not against the law of the secret prisons. She should have gone to the Inspector General, should have gone to Congress. Senator Bond says the same thing. Our caller William says the same thing. They say bring down the wrath of God on Mary McCarthy, or at least the law.
Well, listen. She was in the Inspector General's office, so bringing her to the Inspector General's office was exactly where she was. Obviously, she found that that wasn't useful enough. There wasn't any anything being done about it, and we don't know what the legality of all this is because the administration hasn't discussed this. I mean, this whole thing about obeying the law. There are ways to obey the law, and there are ways to follow one's conscience, and I think in this case she'd been there 26 years with the CIA. This is the first time she's ever done something like this. It must have been something rather dramatic. I mean, what we have here is something far larger than just a leak to the press. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, I've been a journalist for a very long time, and I've had so many leaks that have been from the White House or from the CIA where they call you in and they say, we're going to tell you this information, and we'd like to have it on ABC News, where I was the producer. And don't tell your audience where you're getting it from. Where I'm sitting in the Central Intelligence Agency, hearing it from a senior official. So there's leaks from the top and there's leaks from the bottom. And if you're going to prosecute them from the bottom, why not prosecute them from the top? And the second point is that we have a war going on right now. There's a war going on that possibly should not have been launched in the first place. If anybody watched 60 Minutes last night,
yep.
Tyler Drumheller was on the show. He was in charge of the Central Intelligence Agency operations throughout Europe. And what he said was that there was no justification for this war. This war was entirely done for political reasons. Now, I wish somebody had blown the whistle on this war, somebody from the CIA, somebody from the White House, somebody from the Pentagon, before we got into the war. Maybe there'd be a lot of people not killed. So I don't think you could just simplistically say somebody's a whistleblower and therefore they should be brought out and shot by a firing squad.
Many stripes of political motivation at work here. Charles is calling from Nashua, New Hampshire. Hi, Charles. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, I'd like to reiterate and of what Senator Kerry said with the interview on
ABC yesterday. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And to quote him, not to be redundant, but any agency that uses classification as a tool to lie to the American people really should be looked at.
But is there no time for secrets? I mean, an intelligence agency presumably has to have some.
Absolutely. But in this particular instance, if we look at the results of what Mary McCarthy did, she is the equivalent of what, and this is sort of far-reaching, but of what Paul Revere did by telling everyone that the British were coming and so on and so forth. She blew the whistle. And I would encourage all journalists that are listening that if you hear or see something that is morally reprehensible, in spite of the contract that you have signed, there is a much higher calling to the American people in an open and free society.
Mm. And right now, from St. Paul, Minnesota, we're joined by Professor John Radson at the William Mitchell College of Law. He teaches courses in national security law and constitutional law. From 2002 to 2004, he was assistant general counsel for the CIA and senior liaison to the Justice Department on terrorism espionage cases. John Radson, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be with you.
Take us in here. Did Mary McCarthy have real options here, or were the politics such that there was no other way for her to pursue something she thought was wrong? What do you make of it?
She had options. I probably will disappoint people on the extremes of this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I have conflicting views on this. As a citizen or as a professor, I'm very happy when this kind of information comes out. We learn more about the inner workings of our government. We learn about black sites. We learn about the NSA, the National Security Agency's bypass of the FISA court. But as a former prosecutor, as a former CIA lawyer, I recognize that she breached her violations. She signed an agreement, a contract with the CIA to keep secrets. She's not allowed to talk to the press. She has some internal mechanisms, and we can debate on how effective those are. She worked in the IG's office. Many people in the CIA can go to the Inspector General. People can go to the oversight committees through the classified channel. We're not going to leak it to the public.
That is in Congress.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to Congress. Or another possibility, and we had State Department officials that did this, is that if you disagree with the policies, you can resign. You can come into the public. You won't talk about classified information, but you can make some noise. You can say you disagree with the policies. You don't think we're on the right course. That's a way to somehow stay within her obligations and still protest.
Is there any provision in the law or the sense of the law under which she worked for an employee at the CIA who feels that, we learned long ago that just following orders, I was just following orders, at a certain point, that's not acceptable anymore. I mean, Nazi German army officials were prosecuted after World War II because they just followed orders. Is there any provision for the kind of moral exemption if that's where she thought she was and she thought she had no choice, or is this just wrong and she has to pay the price under the law no matter what?
I don't think she was in that situation. She would have or could have resigned. She was not in the director of operations. If there were a case officer that thought he or she was doing something that was illegal, that was against his or her conscience, That's a different situation, and we've heard people that are very troubled, but they can go and get legal guidance, they can go to the Inspector General, they can resign and be very noisy about it, but I don't think there's an option to leak. She took a chance. If the facts are true, if she leaked something to the press and it was classified information, she took a chance, and there will be consequences.
Do you think there's a case for prosecuting Mary McCarthy, and do you think that will happen criminally?
There is a possibility. There are several statutes that might be on point. There's not a leak statute per se, but we have the espionage statute. We have unauthorized removal of classified information, even theft of government property. These statutes have been used in the past. It's possible there are going to be some ambiguities about provisions in the statutes, but I don't think that the Justice Department is going to bring this case. We'll find out. I think for political reasons, the administration is not that popular, and even for the interests of the CIA, that if we have a prosecution, she and her defense lawyers will ask for a lot of information. This will leak classified information inevitably onto the public record in trying to do the case. So we want to protect sources and methods, and I think a criminal prosecution would threaten some of those sources and methods.
John Radson at the William Mitchell College of Law, formerly Assistant General Counsel for the CIA. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let me get a call from Plattsburgh, New York. Ken's on the line. Hi, Ken. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Good to have you.
I just want to say that I'm a member of the New York Air National Guard, and in the performance of my duties, I have a secret security clearance. Now, in order to get that, I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
If I violate that agreement, I am quite certain that I'm going to see some prison time.
So if you saw something going on that you thought was wrong, what would you do, Ken?
I'd have to forward it up my chain of command.
And if they didn't respond, then what would you do?
I would not disclose that information. There's just absolutely no way. I mean, that's a trust that's given to me to perform my duties.
So what do you think should happen with Mary McCarthy now?
I think that it should be pursued criminally, because I'm quite certain that she has a security clearance way above what I have and has access to all kinds of information out there. Now, I have nothing against whistleblowing in certain instances, but in this case, we're talking about classified information and a trusted employee of the CIA. I mean, maybe she should have pursued that route as opposed to calling the press.
Maybe so. Of course, she was working right there, so she must have had a pretty good vantage on whether or not that would work. But, Ken, thanks very much for that perspective. Let me get a call from Augusta, Georgia. Gloria's calling. Hi, Gloria. You're on the air.
I'd like to say that for future reference, this is a problem in the media. Every time they have a question like this, we never have a political point of view from the Democrats. We have a correspondent, a reporter, who people perceive as being liberal, like Mr. Bamford, who I greatly admire. But anyway, I'd like to say that this is all political. This is a political purge. She was targeted because she was with the Clinton administration previously, and our Republicans are using politics right now to save their political lives because they're worried about subpoenas in the future.
Well, we heard from Senator John Kerry, a no mean Democrat, earlier in this hour, but what do you think about Mary McCarthy? Should she have been fired? She did say she wouldn't leak.
And I'd love to know what Porter Goss gave to the Republican Party.
Yep, we hear it, Gloria. Thank you for your call. Let me turn to Alexandria, Virginia, and Sibel Edmonds. She's director of the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. Ms. Edmonds, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Do you see Mary McCarthy as a leaker or a whistleblower, or both?
Well, she's a whistleblower, and our organization consists of over 80 national security whistleblowers from NSA, CIA, DIA, and the FBI. And we have dealt with hundreds of whistleblower cases from these national security-related agencies.
What makes her a whistleblower?
Well, what I want to emphasize here that makes her a whistleblower is, number one, she's reporting wrongdoing. And whistleblowers, they report cases of government waste, fraud, abuse, or criminal conduct. Number two, with all the cases that we have dealt with, and we have dealt with hundreds of cases, the media, we have not seen a single case where the media is the first option. Usually, these whistleblowers, they turn into media only after all other so-called channels fail. And this is one thing that I really want to emphasize, because some of your guests today, they keep referring to these appropriate channels. And let's take a look at these appropriate channels. They refer to the Inspector General's offices for these agencies.
Where she worked, in this case, in the CIA, Mary McCarthy, yes.
And she's very well aware that at these agencies, there is no third-party independent review of these types of reports of wrongdoing by whistleblowers. So as a result, what you have is you have the institution that commits wrongdoing and then later acts or is expected to act as a judge and a jury of its own alleged conduct.
But how can we run a secret intelligence operation, and sometimes intelligence has to be secret, if you've got leakers so highly placed? I mean, can it be done? Or are you saying there's a higher imperative here?
No, what I'm saying here is we don't have these appropriate channels, and we have to put in place these appropriate channels. Another comment that was made here had to do with the congressional committees as a second channel for these whistleblowers go to. And I want to disagree with Senator Bond here. I can show documented cases of national security agencies employees, including the NSA, who contact these committees, including Senator Pat Roberts' office. I have an NSA whistleblower who has not blown the whistle publicly on certain misconduct, and he has been waiting for the past 4 months to be given this opportunity to go and brief Senator Pat Roberts and the Intelligence Committee's staff under, protected, skeeved, classified
right.
Circumstances to brief them and report to them these cases. And you know what he has been told by these committee members?
Nope.
That nobody within the Intelligence Committee is cleared enough to hear these reports. And they have been told by the NSA that nobody within the United States Congress has a clearance to hear about certain conduct that were carried within the SAP Special Access Program.
Hard to fulfill an oversight obligation if you're not cleared to hear these things. Robert Turner, What do you say to this? That intelligence has to be secret sometimes, but if things rise to a point where someone really thinks it's wrong, just following orders has its limits, does it not?
Yes, obviously it does. If she had evidence of a war crime and it raised that, that would be one thing. But she, thus far, at least based upon Dana Priest's article from November 2nd, there is not a suggestion there that any law has been broken. What she says, the complaint is there are secret prisons. This is being hidden from the American people. I'm always almost amused and angered by this charge. Mm. Nobody said, how dare FDR, back at the time of the Omaha Beach landing, the D-Day landing, we had an incredible deceptive program involving General George Patton in England trying to convince the Germans we were not going to attack where we did.
Is that really comparable? I mean, she had been tasked to follow up on Abu Ghraib, where an awful lot of people are uncomfortable, don't equate that with D-Day.
Well, Paul, just give me a second here. The point I'm making is there is a reason for secret. People say we're hiding it from the American people. If you can show me a way that the intelligence community and the government can give secrets to the American people without our enemies learning it, then let's talk about that. But until you can, and obviously you mm-hmm. can't, mm-hmm. What we're talking about doing is keeping this information out of the hands of the bad guys, and that means we have to keep it out of the hands of the good guys. This idea that secrecy is somehow un-American, James Madison said that had it not been for the secrecy rule imposed in Philadelphia, there would have been no Constitution, and that had nothing to do with national security secrets. Back in 1776, Benjamin Franklin and the unanimous members of the Committee of Secret Correspondence in the Continental Congress unanimously decided they could not share with Congress information about a French covert operation to help the American Revolution, and they said, because we have learned by fatal experience that Congress consists of too many members to keep secrets.
So there's always that tension, and we hear it. I want to get James Bamford's view on this. Mr. Bamford, it keeps coming back to this issue of, is there a point, and was this the point, at which it was justified to step out?
Well, there's a very, very big difference between Omaha Beach and World War II and this sort of euphemistic war on terrorism. This is a war against not a country, but a method of combat. There's no beginning. Terrorism's been going on forever. There's no end. Terrorism will go on forever. So you can't equate a war on, it's like a war on hatred or something.
But are you saying then that the country's counterterrorism effort is misguided? I mean, doesn't it need a counterterrorism effort?
Oh, sure, but that doesn't mean you can equate it to World War II.
But if these prisons were part, if they were there, and if they were part of a counterterrorism effort, Robert Turner would say you need to keep that secret.
Well, fine, keep it secret, but also keep it legal. And that's the question. Was this legal or was it not? Now, you're taking the whole reason for building secret prisons in a foreign country is to avoid U.S. law. That's the whole reason for putting them in Guantanamo. I mean, we are able to handle violations of terrorism within the United States. Tim McVeigh was prosecuted, held in a prison, and executed. Everything went according to plan, even though he blew up an entire federal building, killing more than 100 people. So you can handle these things domestically. What people question is when you do things secretly. This is the most secret-oriented administration I've ever seen in my entire writing career. Mm. And as far back as I can see, this is the only time I've ever seen where an administration actually goes into the National Archives and begins taking out probably more information than information is going into the National Archives. They're going in there and taking things off the shelf that have been sitting there for years, declassified, and stamping them secret and making them secret again. So this is a secrecy-obsessed administration, and whenever you have an administration that's obsessed with secrecy, you're going to have whistleblowers and people who feel that there's no other alternative but to make the issue public.
Sibel Edmonds, let me ask you, if I may, do you see this rising level of secrecy that James Bamford is describing with your National Security Whistleblowers Coalition? Has the climate fundamentally changed here, or is this in line with history? Robert Turner looks all the way back to the pre-revolutionary period.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it is done so whimsically and capriciously and sometimes with no justification. If you just take a look at the invocation of state secret privilege to stop whistleblower cases from going forward in courts, and then you have the administration coming and saying, we can't even tell you why we are invoking this, and expect to get away with it and not be questioned, then you're looking at a very, very dangerous situation here, because you need informed citizenry for a country and for its democracy and for our nation to tolerate that, especially for our Congress to sit there and not take any position on these issues or in certain cases actually support this unprecedented level of secrecy. That says that we are right now currently facing a really dangerous situation. And in fact, instead of decreasing the numbers of leaks and the number of whistleblowers who are coming forward because they don't have any other place to go, as I said, these appropriate so-called appropriate channels not, you know, existing for these people, they go to the press and leak being their last option, and the number of these whistleblowers is going up. And that should just itself make a statement and saying it's backfiring.
Backfiring. Robert Turner, we've just got 20 seconds here. The polygraph machines are whirring at CIA headquarters. Do you think Porter Goss can lock this down? Can he stop the leaks?
Only if he pursues this one seriously with criminal penalties and people see that there will be a cost associated with breaking the law. There's not been any suggestion other than they're keeping it secret, which we've always done in wartime. In the past, the press has not gotten involved in it.
Well, there has been a suggestion, yeah, but the confirmation's not there at this point. Yet we can see what Mary McCarthy thought from her vantage, and with that, I'm afraid we're out of time. Robert Turner at the University of Virginia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
And Sibel Edmonds at the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And James Bamford, author of Body of Secrets and the Puzzle Palace, good to have you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.